Hello there. Got a question for you. Tell me, are you a fish out of water? Are you a fish out of water? Now, that might sound like a silly question right at the outset, but I invite you to stay tuned and we'll discover it more in the eyes of God, okay? Okay, that's the title of my message, A Fish Out of Water. You know, I'm glad that you could join me today. I really am, and I pray that many will hear this message because it is so ultra important. It's near and dear to my heart, and I pray it will become so to yours as well. If we start out now looking at 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, we read, study to show yourselves, or thyself, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That last phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth, you see, that's so ultra important. That word of truth must be rightly divided. If not, the answer will not be strong enough to get you not only to heaven, but probably won't even get you out the door. Why is it with Christians, when I say Christians, I mean the saved, born-again believers in Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you can become a Christian. You must be born again. Now, when you say that to the average Joe or whatever on the street or wherever, they say, are you out of your head? Born again? Nobody can be born again. Well, see, that's okay, because people like that don't understand what God is trying to convey to us. Because they're used to their common factor, if you will, of being born. You're born once, that's it. You're born and you die. But no, that's true that we're all born once, yes, of our moms and dads. But it's vital. Vital. I can't say that strongly enough. It's vital that we come and give our lives over to Jesus Christ and acknowledge what He did for mankind on that cross at Calvary. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. Why is it now, then, that Christians, and when I say Christians, I mean born-again believers in Jesus Christ, not because you go to a certain church or any other reason, but simply because you believe and have a desire to serve the Lord God in truth. And that desire goes on day after day. Why is it that we are none of His? We bear His name. But He took the blame and suffered the shame. Why? Lord God, please give me utterance, Lord. Unstop the ears that are hearing this message today, Lord, how vital it is. Oh, Lord, help them to understand that they too, if they're not sure of their salvation, or if they don't know what salvation is all about, that before this message is done, that they will know. That's the goal, the aim of my message today, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' wonderful name. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Who's he talking to? He's talking to those that labor. I mean, most of us have to labor, right, every day in order to survive, to make a living, as it were. But there's a difference between laboring physically and laboring, how shall we say it, spiritually. Yes, that's the word, spiritually. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Jesus wasn't just talking to hear himself talk. No. Those are powerful words for anyone to say. And to mean, of course. Simply put, Jesus is telling us, if we come to him laden down with whatever burdens, physical, financial, spiritual, if we're depressed, lonely, if we're tired, bored, anything, if we believe and trust in him according to the scriptures, then guess what? You got it. You got it. He has promised to give us rest. Rest from our burdens. Rest from our trials. Rest from our weariness. If you don't, then you're just like the name of my message implies. You're like a fish out of water. Out of water. A fish out of water. Is that you? Is that how you feel? Are you confused with great mounds of uncertainty in your life? One minute you do, next minute you don't, next minute you don't know what to believe. Well, that's why God gave us his book, his holy book. Did God write a book? Oh, yes, he did. Yeah, I'm a senior citizen now, and I live in a modest apartment with my dear wife. We've been married a lot of years and are both of the Christian faith. When we moved into our apartment several years ago, after moving from the East Coast, we took with us our desire to help the sick and dying children throughout the world. Why the children? Because it's the children, now get this, it's the children who always suffer the most. It's the children who are so vulnerable. It's the children that are so helpless, so abused. You know, when Jesus was on this earth, he made it clear that whatever we do unto the little children, we do unto him. That's pretty plain stuff. God has been so good to us, and because of his love and mercy, he has sustained us through every situation. What a loving God we serve. Oh, yes. Praise be unto his holy name and to his Son, Jesus Christ. Twice, God has healed me of two types of cancer. He has continued to strengthen me so that I may carry on the work he has called me to do. Now, you might be saying, well, who do you think you are that Jesus called you or God called you? I'm nobody. Nobody, just another sinner, saved by grace, that's all I am. Every once in a while, because of our faith trials, trials will come our way. And even though that old devil knows he cannot have us, he still kicks at our heels and causes us to stumble from time to time, especially when our faith is weak. And when that happens, that's when I begin to feel like a fish out of water. Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm saying? Being a Baptist fundamentalist with a strong attachment to the Word of God, which I believe is found in a King James 16:11 Bible, and witnessing a continual falling away of weak-kneed Christians, can be discouraging at the best of times. The survival rate is not good for small Baptist churches these days. It seems that mega, you know, mega is, hey, not the small church, the big church. It seems that mega churches has been the bigger draw. That's how they become mega churches. Why? Is it because that's where Jesus is? Not necessarily. Not exclusively. A lot of people, in fact, I think more people go to mega churches because of the amount of people that are there than for the message from the throne. I believe that sincerely. I've gone to both mega and small. And currently I belong to a small Baptist independent church. And I've never felt more at home. Our numbers aren't going through the roof. But our faith is strong. Our faith is strong. You must believe that. Oh. Only by prayer and supplication have we been able to let our requests be made known unto God. Seems like almost daily do I hear another King James Baptist church going under, falling to the enemy. It saddens me greatly. That's why God has laid on my heart what this message is all about. A fish out of water. That's how I feel at times. When you take a fish out of water, it dies. When you take a believer out of Christ, he changes. He changes to the point you would hardly believe he was still a Christian. However, once a Christian, always a Christian. Once saved, always saved. Now, unlike in olden days when Christ was king, now with hundreds of new Bibles turning the Word of God into a maze of compromise, the would-be Christian has opted for an easy read without the threat of hell. They want to feel comfortable reading the Bible. They don't want to be threatened with hell. Well, that's too bad. Because hell does exist. It seems that the old devil is becoming quite a hero for his own. It's gotten to the point where it's almost impossible to tell the sheep from the goats. Which are you? A sheep? A lamb of God, in a sense, or a goat? The Word of God warns us, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And no more is this evident than among many King James churches today. The devil has done such a work on us that many of us wear the same uniform as the enemy. And the world can't tell us apart. It's almost impossible to separate and fully distinguish who's who anymore. Is that a Christian? I'm a Christian. What's a Christian? It goes on and on and on. Today's Christian, and I use the term loosely, today's Christian can in no way be fully recognized as a child of the King. Most walk, talk, dress, and follow in the entirety of the world's mandate. And yet they call themselves a Christian. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruits. That's right. If a new hairstyle is in fashion, you'll see it in church. Elders and pastors included. New hairdos, new body piercing, new tattoos. It's all there. It's all there, neatly wrapped with the cloak of Christianity. If a new line of clothing becomes fashionable, it will find its way inside a Christian church. If a new dialogue hits the scene, it will soon hit your local Christian church. Phrases like cool, no problem, and so on. They're there. They're hanging on for dear life. When asked what's wrong with wearing shredded t-shirts, holy jeans, and I don't mean the spiritual holy, I mean holes in your jeans, and race car jackets to church, I responded by saying, nothing. Nothing. If that's all you have to wear. Hey. Otherwise, what would you wear to visit the Queen of England? If you say the best I could find or borrow, well then, isn't your professed King of Kings and Lord of Lords even above the royalty of the world? Huh? Something to think about. Tell me, how often have you heard someone say, you go to that church? I hear they're pretty strict there, huh? Right by the book, eh? To which I reply, what book are you talking about? What church is that? If you're referring to the Word of God, well, we try to keep in mind that the King James Bible is there for our admonition and to guide us through our lives. Oh, King James, eh? Is that still being printed? To which I reply, it's the preserved Word of God. Kind of legalistic and old-fashioned, ain't it? I mean, people don't talk like that anymore. To which I replied, God does. How many people attend your church, he says? Around 50. 50? We got 1,000 at our church. Hey, great. Praise the Lord. What? Oh, saved? Are they all saved, going to heaven? Well, I don't know their hearts. I don't know if they're all saved or not. All I know is they're all Christians. Whoopsie-doo. The dialogue you just heard is typical of many new evangelical churches around today. And it seems that the right hand doesn't know what the proverbial left hand is doing. And that the heart is full of scam. Two times in recent years, I attended a church aside from my own. One was a Baptist church in Orlando, Florida. Thousands in attendance. Once inside, I was awestruck by the architecture. I recall how quickly the masses filled the place. Looking about for a cross or a podium, I found nothing to signify its relationship to God. And when the band, began doing their lengthy opening act, all I could think of is, how do I get out of here? Been there, have you? When I finally did get outside and found myself alone, well, I simply lost my bearings and I could not locate our vehicle. It wasn't mine. We were with others. I couldn't find the vehicle. Again, I had become a fish out of water. And even though I was directionless, I managed to retain my sanity until the others finally came out and led me to the van at the other side of the church, some distance away. It was a virtual nightmare. The other Baptist church I temporarily attended was near where we live in Canada, in Ontario. It also was a new evangelical church. The pastor was a very casual speaker and dresser. Oh, he talked about the word for about 10 to 15 minutes or so. After about a 40-minute contemporary music gig, they got that? Contemporary music gig. You know, that was the only time I ever heard a rock version of Amazing Grace. The only time. I never want to hear it again. I guess if I may quote an old familiar proverb, though, not from the good book, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's what it was for me. That was the final straw that sent me reeling toward the exit. And when I determined that many of the 300 plus members were trying to follow the services using almost as many different versions of the Bible, I didn't know what to think. Confusion reigned. Confusion. Mass confusion. No, it can't be called mass confusion. That's Catholicism. Church confusion. Okay. You know what? God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. I guess I tasted I lasted. Well, I got a taste of it too. I lasted about 6 months before I found the exit. Not that I didn't know where the exit was, but before I had enough nerve to get up and head for it. Out the door. Confusion reigneth here, and God is not the author. So here I was again, like a fish out of water. You know, the Word of God says, only what's done for Christ will last. And in Romans 3:23 we read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To which many Christians today might respond, not anymore. I ask you, hasn't Christ been shamed enough because of us? The same Baptist church was holding a golf tournament. And being an old duffer, I figured I'd use the fellowship. So I joined a foursome. Or I became the foursome. And everything looked great. And I thank God for the time of fellowship. At the first tee, nobody said an opening prayer. So I said my own. By the second tee, someone in my foursome was smoking something. By the eighth hole, they were into the booze. And by the ninth, I was out of there. Gonzo. Crossed the lot. Heading for my car. If I hadn't seen it for myself, I would have definitely had trouble believing it. This was a church I had considered making my own. This so-called Christian lifestyle combined with the rock music and the mass confusion over Bibles had the Lord kicking my butt all the way to the exit, the parking lot. I never returned. Never returned. Please understand, I place myself above no man. And I'm as big a sinner as any. But as long as the Holy Spirit has given me direction and strength and the Lord is blessing my life, then I will do my utmost to walk that path. I'm coming a long way. Pardon me, I've come a long way in what was once a religious quest to get to know God better. I was totally brainwashed. Don't we all get brainwashed over something sometime or other? Sure we do. Believing that in Catholicism was one I escaped from, and believing that any worldly religion was a godly religion. And yet I witnessed some of the brutality the nuns were forced to inflict upon every young one who was given over to the convent due to parental problems. I witnessed that. And I was completely gullible to the outlandish Vatican-inspired propaganda films and the extracurricular activities regarding Mary and hell and purgatory and sainthood. Let me conclude my frame of thought by saying, yes, yes, there is much to be concerned about where Islamic terrorism abounds. However, be wary, be warned, be wise. Islam and Catholicism have more in common than you may realize. My friends, I urge you with all my heart, know the enemy. Know the enemy. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray you'll tune in again next time for part two. I'm sure you'll get a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.